Excited for next week. Next week, right? At the movies. We are at the movies next week. If you've never been at the movies at our church, what I basically do is pull out biblical truths in some of Hollywood's biggest movies. So I'm really, really amped and excited to bring At the Movies next week as we kick off the summer. How many are excited for the summer? Tomorrow's the summer. I'm also excited that tomorrow is my 24th year anniversary. I should say it this way, 24th year of staying in love with my beautiful bride, 24 years. So excited to celebrate tomorrow. Tomorrow's the longest day of the year, 24 years anniversary in first day of summer. I love June 21st. So I love June 21st. Today I want to talk to you about the foundation of fatherhood. I'm talking to the dads, but I'm talking to everybody as well, because I know everybody will relate in some way, shape, or form to this message. The foundation of fatherhood. I'm not much of a builder. It took me 2 hours to put up a towel rack in my house and multiple holes and clamps and all kinds of things. I'm not good at building. I try to build. The biggest thing I've built is a garden. What I mean by that is I drilled 4 pieces of wood together to make a box, and I filled it with dirt. Come on, somebody, give me some love. I'm jealous of the builders out there. I'm jealous of you guys. It's like, oh, I can build a shed. I can build a house. I can build anything. I'm like, wonderful. Come build something at my house because I need your help. I'm not much of a builder, but I do have some building knowledge. For example, I know this. When it comes to building a house, the foundation matters. That's all you say? Like, yeah, come on, give me some love. I know, yeah. There you go. The foundation matters. If you don't build a house on a good foundation, how many know the house will begin to sink? It'll begin to crack. Things will begin to fall apart. Things will not be steady. It doesn't matter what style of cabinets you have. It doesn't matter what kind of wood floors you want. It doesn't matter the color of the house, the look of the house. It doesn't matter what size the bedroom is. If the foundation is not right, the house won't be right. So 1997, June 21st, we got married, and on July 1st, we started ministry in a church in Rhode Island. Super, super excited to go to a church in Rhode Island, I was a youth pastor at that church. And I can remember the whopping salary they paid me at that church in Rhode Island in 1997. Remember the pastor told me, we'll pay you a salary, plus we'll help you with housing. I'm like, all right, that's cool. We can start off that way. And I got there, and I said, great, what's my salary? And he said, $750. That's awesome, right? If it would have been for a week. It was $750 a month. Are you kidding me? Like a month? But we knew God had called us there. We knew that's where we needed to be. And God, where God guides, he provides. How many know that? Where God guides, he provides. We started at this church, and we moved into our first apartment on July 1st. And it was a duplex. We lived on the second floor, and our landlord lived on the first floor. And he was awesome. His name was Steve. He was a construction dude. He was Italian. He was rough. He was rugged. And he didn't have anybody living with him. And he just loved people. He loved being with people. So July 1st, we move in. On July 4th, he invited us to his cookout with just him and us. That's how it was. So he came. We went downstairs to his back deck. And it was a cookout unlike any other cookout I've been through. It was only 3 of us. But we had steaks. We had lobsters. We had crabs. We have everything you can ever imagine at the 4th of July cookout. To this day, it is the best 4th of July cookout I have ever had in my life. But that's not where it ends. Because where God guides, he provides, right? So later on, he says every week he would invite us down. So we would have food with him. If he ordered Chinese, he would give us extra. And he loved to go shopping. He loved to have his freezer full until he ran out of space and asked if he can put his food in our freezer.
And I said, sure, because we are broke, but we would love for you to put your food in our freezer. And he said, good, eat whatever you want. My grocery bill was $50 a week, literally, or probably less, because where God, he provides. And there I am eating. Now, sometimes I get home from church, and there's a lobster in the fridge, because he also put lobsters in there. He put steaks, everything you could ever imagine. This was my year being a youth pastor at this church. Amazing. Amazing. So we live into this apartment, second floor, and we move in. It was great. We set up our bed. We only had a bed. We got the smallest U-Haul truck there was. We got married in Port Jervis, First Assembly of God. We packed up the U-Haul truck, went to Rhode Island. We had a bed. We had a dining room table, and we had a sofa that was made out of wood. Like, you say, aren't all sofas made out of wood? They are, but not exposed wood. This was exposed wood that had some cushions on it. So when you just lay down to, like, sit on the, we didn't have a TV, just lay on the couch and be like, gink, you know, you hit your head on the wood. But where God guides, he provides, right? That's not the title of the message, but it sounds good for today. All right, so we went to bed that first night, and I started finding myself rolling over to my wife's side. And she said, honey, I want to sleep. I said, no, I'm not rolling on purpose. I'm rolling because that's where my body is going right now. And then she began rolling off her side because the floor was slanted. So we took a ball from one corner of the house to the other. We just let it go. The whole house was slanted. We didn't realize it right away, but going to the kitchen was downhill, but coming out of the kitchen was uphill. That's how I knew. I was out of breath going to the couch, hit my head. You know how it is. So foundations matter. How many know that? Foundations matter. If you don't have a strong foundation, this is what your house will look like. True story, right? This is your house. This is my house. This was my house. It wasn't looking like that, but it kind of felt like that sometimes. And this is the thing. We are all builders. You may not think you're a builder. You may not feel like a builder, but we are all builders. We are all building a house. I'm not talking a physical house. I'm talking a spiritual house. We're all building a home. We're all building a family. We're all building a life. We're all building something. And I came to tell you today that the strength of your house that you are building is dependent upon the kind of foundation you are building on. The strength of the house that you're building is dependent upon the kind of foundation you are on. And I just wonder today, I wonder if there are people who are building their house thinking that it's great because it looks great on the outside, but the foundation is faulty. It's not strong. And I wonder how many people today are building homes on faulty foundations. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm building my house on a firm foundation? How do I know if I'm building my house on a secure foundation? Well, first of all, there's going to be some cracks. Cracks in relationships. Cracks maybe with your spouse. Cracks with your kids. There's going to be some foundational upheaval. There's going to be some upheaval in your home. Things are going to be turned upside down. There's going to be a lack of peace. A lack of security, and then things will begin to sink. People will begin to sink in depression and discouragement and worry and fear and anxiety. People begin to sink, and then things start falling apart. I just wonder if things are falling apart in your life today. I wonder if things are falling apart in your home today. And if things are falling apart, maybe your marriage is falling apart, maybe your finances is falling apart, maybe your future is falling apart, maybe things are just falling apart, and you don't know what's going on, and then add to it storms. Storms come, challenges come, and they begin to shake the house, and you find yourself struggling. I wonder if it's because you are building a house on a faulty foundation. You know, Jesus says this about foundations. He talks about foundations in scriptures. He says that we're all builders. We're all building a house. We're all building something. And Jesus says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the, what church? The rock. Wise man built his house on the rock. Wise men build their house on the rock. But then he says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew away and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because what, church? Its foundation was on the rock. Its foundation was on the rock. Jesus continues. Now, Jesus is telling this story. Let me give you a little backstory. I should have done that a couple minutes ago. He's doing a sermon. He's preaching a sermon. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. It started in Matthew 5. And he is speaking to the crowds. And right now, he's giving the end of his sermon. In other words, in my mind, this is the most important part. It's the ending. It's what he wants you to remember. And he says, we're all building something. Those who build on the rock are wise, but those who are foolish are going to build on the sand. And he says this next verse, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And there was a great rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I wonder if things are crashing in your life. I wonder if things are falling apart in your life. And what is Jesus saying in this passage? Jesus is trying to get us to understand something, that what you're building your life on matters. It's not so much the kind of house that you're building, it's what you are building your house on that matters. You see, in this scripture, Jesus is teaching that those who build on the rock are going to be strong, are going to be secure, are going to be grounded. And when the winds blow and the storms of life hit, those people are going to stand strong. They're going to remain immovable. They're going to be secure because their life, their house, their family is built on a rock. When your life and your family is built on a rock, it doesn't matter what storm comes your way, you'll be able to stand and withstand the storms. How many know that? You'll be able to stand. Withstand the storms that come your way. So whatever challenges you're facing in the future, whatever challenges we're facing ahead, as long as we're building on a firm foundation, the wind will blow, the storms will come, but we will stand. But then Jesus talks about those who are building on sand. Sand in the scripture, in this passage, alludes to secularism. It alludes to worldliness. It alludes to instability. And Jesus says those who are building their lives, their houses, their families on a foundation of secularism, worldliness, are building an unstable life, an unstable family. What do I mean by that? I mean those who prefer to build their lives for external purposes. Those who are pursuing fame, those who are pursuing money, those who are only concerned about the external things of life are going to miss God's purpose for their lives. And they are building a life that is not built on a firm foundation. You see, those who build on that firm foundation are the ones who withstand the storms, but those who are building with other motivations, other purposes, other desires are going to crash. I believe we've seen a little bit of this in this past year, year and a half. I believe we've seen a lot of people's lives crash because of the challenges that our country has faced. I believe we've seen a lot of individuals walk away from their faith. We've seen a lot of people walk away from church. We've seen a lot of people walk away from God because of the problems that they faced. Jesus says the reason why you've walked away is because you've built on something that doesn't last. That doesn't last. So what is the foundation that we're building our lives on? What is it that lasts? Like, what is the foundation that God wants us to build our families on, our homes on, our future on? The Word of God tells us this in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is who, church?
Jesus Christ. He is the foundation for which we build our lives on. He is the rock. He is immovable. He will never be shaken. God will never be shaken. God will never be moved. He is the rock. He is our foundation. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our strength. He is the one that we're building our lives on. When you don't build your life on Christ, you're building your life on a faulty foundation. Fathers, dads, what are you building your family on? What kind of foundation are you building your family on? I know as fathers and as dads and as husbands, it is our desire to provide. It is our desire to provide for our families, a home, security, stability, finances, and those things are noble, but that's not enough. It's not enough simply to provide for your family financially. It's not enough to simply provide for your family materialistically. Because if that's your focus and sole focus in life is to achieve and to attain, you're building your family and your home on a faulty foundation. Because what really matters is that you build your life on Christ. That you build your life on the purposes of Christ. That you build your life on God's call for your life. That you build your family and that you lead your family to follow Jesus and to obey his teachings. It's so important, dads, that you are the spiritual leaders, the spiritual fathers of your home, and that you build your family and your home on this foundation called Jesus Christ. See, the foundation of fatherhood is Jesus Christ. It is him. Everything else is sinking sand. Let me ask you, are you building your life on Christ? Are you building your home on Christ? Are you building your family on Christ? You say, well, Pastor, I think I am. I'm not quite sure. How do I build my family on Christ? I think, is it just going to church? Is it just doing these things? Is it saying a prayer? No, Jesus explains it in First Corinthians chapter 3, 2. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a what church? A wise man who built his house on the rock. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you're going to build your house and your life on the rock, you can't just be a hearer of God's word. You have to be a doer. This is what Jesus said. If you want to build your life on the rock, you can't just hear God's word. You have to live God's word. You have to live God's word. You have to live it. You have to live it. You have to live it. How do you build your life on Christ? You got to live it. You got to put it into practice. I'm a proud father of two amazing boys. My oldest is turning 21. I don't even know how that happened. I could still remember I was a church planter we started in 1998, but when he was born in 2000, I still remember preaching. There was about 25 people, and we didn't have a nursery, but all the way in the back, there was a, what do you call those square things? Playpen. It's been a long time. Playpen. And he wasn't walking yet, and he was hanging on the playpen looking up. And I was preaching, and I was so nervous that he was going to fall. I don't know, new dad. And I can't believe how quickly he's grown. My youngest son, Josiah, oh my goodness, he's going to be 15? 15, right? 15 years old. They're just growing up right before me to be fine young men of God. And I'm not going to talk about them a lot because they don't like when I talk about them, but I can tell you this, one thing that I'm proudest of them the most is that they are both followers of Jesus. Amen. They both follow Jesus. They love Jesus. They love Jesus. They follow Jesus. They want to follow his plan for their life. They want to do what God wants them to do. And you say, well, Pastor, that's because they grew up in a pastor's home. I should say this. On the contrary, growing up in a pastor's home is very difficult. Many children who grew up in pastor's home are drifting far from God, have drifted far from God. Just ask Katy Perry or Marilyn Manson. These are individuals who grew up in pastor's home. Just because you grew up in a pastor's home doesn't mean that you're going to follow Jesus. And I look at my life, I say, Lord, what did I do? What did I do right? Because when, as a parent, don't you struggle with sometimes all the regrets, things you did wrong? Now as my kids are growing up, I'm like, man, I screwed that up. I screwed that up. I wish we had 20 years of experience before we had our first kid, because then we'll know what to do. And basically, what I've learned is what I learned growing up with my dad. See, my dad was a follower of Jesus. And my dad loved God and put God first in his life. He raised us in Christ and in church. In my life, church wasn't an option. Why I got quiet? Growing up, church wasn't an option. I was dragged to church and I was drugged to church. Either way, I was drugged, dragged, brought to church, to God's house. Parents, it didn't kill me. Why y'all quiet now? You see, church these days is an option. And now it's an option whether you're going to attend in person or online. I'm not talking about the people who can't come. I'm talking about the people who can. I think I'll just watch it online today. Newsflash, church was never meant to be lived online. I'm just telling you the truth. I love online. God bless you. I appreciate you. But can I preach the way I want to preach today? There are Chinese Christians risking their lives every day to meet on the underground because there's power in gathering. There's something powerful that happens when two or three gather in God's name. So I appreciate that about my dad. My dad demonstrated to me what it was to follow Jesus. I remember he worked on Sunday mornings. Couldn't get out of that. He was a supervisor. But we had Sunday night church. My dad wake up at 4:30 in the morning, drove to Yonkers, worked at a very difficult, very, very difficult job. Very difficult. And he drives home, and he stops at McDonald's there in Chester to grab his cheeseburger. And comes in and sits in the second row of the church because they had 6 o'clock service. That's what I saw growing up. A man who placed God first in his life. A man who followed Jesus, not with just his words, but with his life. A man who raised me not in Christ only, but in church. Or not in church only, but in Christ. So you say, well, Pastor, then did you follow Jesus right away? No, I didn't. I gave them all kind of hell. Because when I turned 16, it was like everything came alive in me. And I was like, I want to party my body. Party your body. Where's my mixtape? Where's my mixtape? Dad was like, let's grab my mixtape. Where is it? I just wanted a club. I just wanted a party. And I made it so difficult for them. I did. It was hard. And then when I turned 20, I graduated Orange County Community College. I was going to go to, I started attending John Jay College of Criminal Justice. My dream was to be a state trooper. And I went to John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I moved to 44th Street and Broadway. No, 44th Street and 10th Avenue. What? Awesome. I said, now's my time to party my body. You know, where's my mix? I love it. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I remember the first weekend I'm there, I'm like, raise the roof, raise the roof, raise the roof, raise the roof. And then Saturday night, all night long, took a cab home. Then Sunday morning, I kind of was sleeping Sunday morning, and my beeper went off. Some of y'all have no idea what a beeper is. The beeper looked like this, and you carry it on your belt, like hardcore. Like, yeah. That's what people do when they're important. They got their beeper. So you walk, and it'd be like, excuse me. Oh, it's my mom. Okay. My mom's on the beeper, so I had to go downstairs, get the payphone. Thank you. I forget what they're called. Call my mom. I remember this. She said, son? Yeah, hi, mom. Did you go to church? Yeah, mom. Yeah.
I went to church and I was praising. It was the wrong church I went to, but it was on a church. And she says, no, did you go to church? I said, yeah, Mom, I went to church. How was it? It was great. She says, okay, just checking up, making sure you're good. Thanks, Mom. I hung up the phone, and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit on me. Why? Scripture says this. This is for all of you fathers and mothers out there whose children are far from God. That's what the scripture says. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow older, they will not depart from the faith. But what does it say? It says you got to train them. You got to train them. Fathers, you got to train them. Mothers, you got to train them. Train them for what? Train them to leave. It's true. That's the best parenting advice I ever got. Train your kids to know Jesus and to leave. So they have a foundation on how to live, and they have tools in their toolbox to live this life as independent people. The reason why many of you parents still have your 40-year-old kids in your house is because you didn't train them to leave. Thank you. Preach it, Pastor. Somebody's finally encouraging me here today. I don't mean you want them to leave. I mean you got to prepare them, equip them, help them to know Christ. So here I am on my own, 20, 21 years old. I felt convicted of the Holy Spirit. Why? I was trained to go to the house of God. Come on, church ain't no option. It is a necessity. In the days we live in, you fathers, you are responsible. Mothers, single parents, get to the house. Get to the church. Can I preach it the way I feel it? Get to the church. There's something special that happens when we gather. So, all right, let me fast forward. So there I am, convicted of the Holy Spirit. Why? I was trained. Guess what I did the following Sunday? I went to church. So mad. So I might as well just go to church. I'll just go to this church. I'll just leave after the worship, before the offering, so that I could just, you know, tell my parents. I remember walking in that church. My mom said, go to Times Square Church, 51st and Broadway. I get emotional, so powerful. I'll never forget. I walked into this theater. It was like the glory of Jesus, the heavens were open in this church. And I walked in and I couldn't hold back the tears. I said, what is happening in this place? What is going on with me? And I left and my mom beat me. My dad beat me. How's church? It's all right. All right. Guess where I went the following week? The church. Guess where I went? On the fourth week. No, to the front of the church now. I was at the altar, rededicating my life to Christ. It was. And I was so mad because I only got to party my body only 3 weeks. That was like, I was like ready. I was going to take over New York. But there I am on week four. I'm at the front giving Jesus my life. Amen. Why? You train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's older, he won't depart from it. Why? I imitated what I saw. I saw my parents live for Jesus. And so the backstory, that's the backstory. So what's the front story? The front story is that now I've learned that if my kids are going to imitate Christ, they first need to imitate me. Because every child growing up wants to be like their dad or their mom. And I realize that if my kids are going to want to follow Christ, then they're going to need to want to follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. So how do you build your life? You imitate Christ. And as you imitate Christ, your kids will begin to imitate you and follow you. You see, I believe the reason why my children
did not rebel against the faith is because they saw their dad and their mom were the same person on stage as they were off stage. And I didn't preach them to death. I mean, they didn't have an option coming to church, but I didn't preach it to them to death. I let the Holy Spirit move in their life. And to this day, we're not perfect. We have struggles. We have ups and downs. But we wrestle together as a family with Christ in the center. Storms come. Storms come. Storms will come. Storms will continue to come. Challenges will come. But Christ is our foundation. Christ is the center of our homes. Is Christ the center of your home? Dads, you're building a house. And your family's waiting for you to step up to the plate and lead. Do you know that, dads? I know what some of you are thinking, well, I want to get all emotional. You know, I don't want to get all emotional, whatever the case is. Well, maybe your kids need to see you emotional. Maybe they need to see the touch of God on your life. Maybe they need to see you lift your holy hands in the house of God. Maybe they need to hear you pray at home. Maybe they need to hear you talk to Christ about them. Maybe they need you to lay hands on them and pray over them and over their lives and their future. Maybe, just maybe, they need to see you before you see it in them. They have to see it in you. As the worship team comes up, before they see it, you see it in them, parents, they have to see it in you. I have a lot more. I'm not even going to get to it today. But I leave you with this. We're all building a house. We're all building a family and home. The foundation matters. If you're going to build it on sand, what sand? Well, things of this world. The accumulation of stuff. Oh, I just need to get a bigger home. I need to get nicer cars. I got to send my kids to college. I got to bring them to sports. And all those things are great. I try to do all those things for the kids. But if that's all it is, when the storm hits, the house is going to crash. But if you build it on Christ, his purpose is for your life. You follow him with your heart. You say like Joshua, and I'll leave you with this. Joshua said this. Whatever God you want to serve, you serve that God. But Joshua said this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will. As a declaration of faith, I'm going to build my life on the rock. I'm going to build this family on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to build my life on Jesus. I'm going to build my future on Christ. I'm going to build my family on Christ. I'm going to build my foundation. My foundation is Christ. My home is Christ. Christ in me. Christ above me. Christ below me. Christ in front of me. Christ behind me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody, let's give God praise. Come on.
I will build my life.
Come on, let's sing this together.
Upon your love, it is a firm foundation.
Come on, team. Come on, team. Come on.
And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will put
Let me pray over you before we go. Lord, I bless the fathers. I bless the single moms. I bless the father figures in this house, Lord Jesus. May your hand be upon them today, Lord. May your anointing of the Holy Spirit rest on them today, Lord. Bless them with wisdom. Bless them with understanding. Guide their steps. Direct in them, Lord, your plans and purposes. But most importantly, give them a fire that comes from your spirit, a passion that comes from your spirit. Lord, raise up the men in this church. Raise them up to be godly men, men of hunger, men of thirst, men that desire to follow you, men that want to obey you, men that lead their families and lead their home. Lord, in this generation, we need great men of God, I pray. In Jesus' name, would you raise them up in this church? Would you raise them up in this community? Lord, we pray blessing upon every family here today. Every family, every husband and wife, every child. Lord, I pray for the brokenness. I pray for the hurting today. Those that have lost a loved one. Those that have lost a dad. Those that have lost a husband today, Lord. Comfort them, strengthen them today, Lord. Pray for every marriage. Heal the marriages in our church. Restore the marriages in our church. Bless the marriages. Bless the children. Put your hand be upon them. And lastly, I pray for every wayward child that's far from you, Jesus. Lord, on this Father's Day, dads, pray for your sons. Pray for your daughters. Can we do that? For every child that's not following you, we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would rescue them, would touch them wherever they might be, that they would draw them to a saving relationship with you. With your head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, I want to give your life to Jesus. Would you say this prayer with me? Everyone in the room, pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I surrender myself to you. I obey you, and I want to follow you. And on this day, I choose to follow you, and I choose to serve you. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen and amen. Let's give them an applause. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. On the way out, if you made that decision to follow Jesus and you want a Bible, we have free Bibles on the back table. If you're watching online, fill out the form. We'll send you one. And if you need prayer, prayer team's here up front. They'll come. Just come. If you need prayer, just come out of your seat. You don't have to be afraid. Just they'll pray for you. And last but not least, please enjoy food and friends and family outside today. We love you, everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy your summer. God bless you. See you next week.